Content Words, taught by Sherry Summers. This lesson was recorded specifically for students of the American Accent course. Any reproduction of this audio in any form is strictly prohibited without the permission of AccentOnSpeaking.com.
Hi, and welcome to today's class. So far, we've spent a lot of time talking about intonation, but especially word intonation, and intonation in things like compound nouns, phrasal verbs, but we haven't really talked a lot about intonation in sentences. Well, this is the time. There's been a lot of talk of content words and structure words, but really no detail on what that means exactly and how that's going to affect your English. So in this lesson, let's spend a lot more time talking about content words, structure words, what they do in a sentence, and how you can figure out what you need to be doing to gain this new American accent. So by now you probably realize there are a lot of ups and downs in English. In fact, you remember that we've got a primary stress, we've got secondary stresses, and we've got weak stresses going on. All these things going up and down. You'll also remember that every content word has at least one primary stress, and it may have a secondary stress, it may have a weak stress. In fact, often content words have weak stresses. Not always, but very often. So this is why you'll see this up and down pattern. And you'll also remember that often, whatever your intonation pattern is in your native language is carried over into American English intonation. We want to get a really good grasp of what the intonation pattern in sentences is in English, so gradually you can start seeing changes in the way you speak. Quite a while ago, we diagrammed some intonation patterns of different languages. Some languages went up sharply, dropped down. Some languages had a sing-songy value. Many, many different kinds of patterns. But when we took a look at American English, we saw some ups, some downs, some ups, some downs, downs, downs. And I asked you, why do you think that happens? And the answer was, the content words get stress. The structure words don't get stressed. The content words often have unstressed parts in them. That brings us down to the vowels that we hear, or the really low parts that we hear. So we have these ups and downs. The diagram that we made looked like hills and valleys. Now, unfortunately, if you learned English from reading first and you spent years learning English from a book rather than listening to somebody speak English, particularly a native English speaker, then you might tend to interpret intonation in word chunks, more broken pieces. In our last lesson, we talked about linking. We link the words together, but also sometimes they go up, sometimes they go down. In a typical sentence, where do we usually hear the ups? Let's talk more about whole words, not really just syllables, the whole words. What words in a sentence are we going to stress? I'm not going to tell you the answer yet. I think you already know, but what are the important words? In some languages, the pattern is the same no matter what kind of word it is, but grammatically speaking, in English, it's the important words that get stressed. Not what we call the little words, but the important words. So if we look at a sentence such as the one you see in your handout, the boy rode his bike quietly down the dark path. The boy rode his bike quietly down the dark path. What kinds of words are stressed here? Let's go over this. Where do you hear the stress? The boy rode his bike quietly down the dark path. How about the boy? No, not the. Boy, yes, that gets stressed. Rode, that gets stressed. His bike, his doesn't get stressed, but bike does. Quietly, that gets some stress. Down the dark path. Down doesn't get a lot of stress. And the doesn't get stressed, but dark and path both have more stress. So grammatically speaking, what kinds of words are usually stressed? Boy is a noun. That gets stressed. Road is a verb. That gets stressed too. Bike is another noun. Quietly, what's that? That's an adverb. Down is a preposition that doesn't get stressed. The doesn't get stressed. Dark, that gets some stress. That is an adjective. And path, well, that's another noun. So the words that get stressed are the nouns, the verbs, the adjectives, and the adverbs. And guess what? In most cases, not all, but in most cases, there's a hierarchy. And what I mean by that is some words get more stress than others. If you think about it, what is usually the most important information in a sentence? Wouldn't you have to say that we usually want to know who did it, what was it, where was it? Usually we want to know the nouns. We want to know the things, the person, the place. Usually that is the most important information in a sentence. Who, what, where? Have you ever noticed after we use a noun in a sentence, often the second time we use that noun, we change it to a pronoun? For example, I might say, Bob likes to read. Bob likes to read. I introduce Bob, but the second sentence I might say, he also likes to go fishing. He, not Bob. If I said Bob, Bob likes to read, Bob likes to go fishing, Bob enjoys cooking, too many Bobs, Bob, Bob, Bob. So once we've introduced the noun, generally, we change it to a pronoun to continue talking about it. So the noun is usually the most important information. After that, it's no longer important. We know what it is. That's why it becomes a pronoun. And after we find out who or what or where we're talking about, what's the next thing that we want to know? Don't we usually want to know what happened? And what kind of word introduces what happened? How about the verb? The verb shows the action. We want to know what was the action, what happened. We know who did it or what did it, so what did they do? Verbs are very important too, but sometimes just a little less important than the noun. Not always, depends on the speaker's feeling, but generally it's just a little less important. So if I say, Bob likes books, Bob likes books, what do you hear that has the most stress? Likes is a verb, and that's an important word. But Bob likes books. Bob is the noun. Books is another noun. They have a little bit more stress than likes. Bob likes books. Interesting, isn't it? So after that, what do we usually look for? Now, the nouns are very important. The verbs are also important, maybe just half a step under the nouns. And next in importance, do you think adjectives would be more important or adverbs? What does an adjective do? An adjective describes the noun. We're talking about the noun. This is the important information. And now we want to describe this person or this place or this thing using an adjective. So adjectives are also very important, maybe half a step under the verbs. And then we have the adverbs. What does an adverb do? An adverb can describe a verb or another adjective. So for example, I might say, Bob likes interesting books. Bob likes interesting books. Bob and books get quite a bit of stress. Likes is just a little bit less. And interesting is just a little bit less than that. Listen again. Bob likes interesting books. Bob likes interesting books. Let's put an adjective in there. The books are very interesting. The books are very interesting. Of course, books is very strong because that's the noun. Now, interesting is no longer with a noun, so it's a little bit higher. and the adverb before it is a little bit lower. The books are very interesting. The books are very interesting. So, generally, nouns are a little stronger than verbs. Verbs are a little stronger than adjectives. Adjectives are a little bit stronger than adverbs, but not always. We can switch these things around depending on our feeling. I could say the books are very interesting. I want to emphasize very. So it's possible to stress really anything in English, but it's going to change the meaning a little. In a nice, normal, what I call default sentence, the nouns, the verbs, the adjectives, and the adverbs have the most power unless you want to emphasize something or contrast them with something else. And we'll talk more about how we do that in one of our next lessons. So, looking at that sentence again, the boy rode his bike quietly down the dark path. The boy rode his bike quietly down the dark path. What does not get stressed? Well, we don't hear the. In fact, people don't say the boy with equal power. They say the boy. Notice how fast that is. The boy rode his bike. H-I-S. Remember, we take off the H on some of the words like him, his, he. So we'll remove that H there. The boy rode his bike. That his is very small, very tiny. Quietly down the dark path, down is not stressed. It doesn't become reduced to a schwa sound, but it's not stressed. It's just shortened or reduced. And the, again, is also very short. So far we can see some articles here. We can see some prepositions here. And we see a possessive pronoun here. His is what we call a possessive pronoun. So these are three kinds of words that are structure words. What else would be considered a structure word? Pretty much anything that's not a noun, verb, adjective, or adverb would be considered a structure word. So we've got articles, and articles are words such as a, an, the, some. We have prepositions. Prepositions are words such as to, meaning a direction, to, give it to me, from, for, at. Pronouns. Pronouns are words such as he, him, her, she, we, them, and the possessive pronouns too, his, my, our. Also, words that are conjunctions. Conjunctions are words like and, or, and but. These words usually don't get any stress. And then we come to something called a modal. Modal. The spelling is M-O-D-A-L. Have you heard of a modal? A modal is a word such as would, could, should, will, won't, can. These are called modals, but they're also called sometimes auxiliary verbs. You may have learned that in a grammar class before. When I was a child, I learned it as a helping verb. And in elementary school, they said it was a helping verb because it needed to help the main verb. It couldn't be alone. Sometimes it can be alone, but that's only when we make a short sentence. For example, I could say, I will go to the store. Will you go to the store? Yes, I will. But the meaning is, I will go. So we can use modals in a short sentence. But usually when they're in a normal sentence, right next to a verb, these words, these modals, don't get any stress. In fact, they're often really reduced. Sometimes you can't even hear them well because they're so reduced. They're so small. It's the verb next to it that's big. But the helping verbs or the modals are small. I can do it. I can, not I can do it. I can do it. I can do it. And notice also it on the end of the sentence. That's a pronoun. It doesn't get any stress either. I can do it. And there's one more thing that doesn't get stressed. This might surprise you a little bit, but this is be verbs. Do you know what I mean by a be verb? A be verb is words like am, is, are, were, was. Now, I just told you a few minutes ago that verbs got stressed. So why am I now telling you that be verbs don't get stressed? It's a verb, isn't it? Be verbs are verbs. But there is a difference. I also told you a few minutes ago the verb gets stressed because it shows us what's happening. Does a be verb show us what's happening? For example, if I said, I am a teacher, I am a teacher. Does the word am, which is a be verb, tell you what I'm doing? No, it doesn't. There's really no action in be verbs. In be verbs, it's simply telling you that one thing is the same as another thing. I am a teacher. I equals teacher. But I could also say, I am happy. I equal happy. Myself equals happy. I have a happy spirit. So a be verb doesn't get stressed because it doesn't really show any action. It simply connects words together. Interesting, isn't it? Sometimes you'll see these be verbs connected with verbs, and the same thing happens. We don't emphasize them. For example, I'm going to the store. I don't say I am going with equal power. Going is the word that I want to focus on. Am is very small. In fact, it often gets contracted into I'm going, because it's not really an important word. Now, don't get me wrong. I don't mean that you don't have to use it. You do, but it doesn't stand out. You can't just drop the word and not say it at all. You've got to say it, but you can say it very quickly. I'm going to the store. I'm going to the store. All of these structure words are really reduced, and we'll talk specifically later about how to reduce them and how they sound. But in most cases, if you find a structure word and you want to figure out how to make it small, most of the time, if you have a short vowel in the word, you just remove the vowel. Put a little schwa there instead. Instead of saying am, you'd say Instead of saying will, you'd say wool. If you have a structure word that has a long vowel, such as a, e, I, o, or oo, we don't turn those into schwas generally. We will just shorten them quite a bit. For example, we is a pronoun. We would be reduced to we. I wouldn't put a schwa there because e is a long vowel. I wouldn't say we want. I'd say we want. We want. Make it just a lot shorter, but you can't change the long vowels into a schwa. Everything else, you can pretty much do that. Changing the short vowels, anything else that's not a long vowel into a schwa is usually acceptable in most cases. So if we take a look at our sentence again, and you'll see that I've put some intonation diagrams here, it'll give you a little bit better idea of what's going on. The words in red are the structure words. The words in green are the content words. The boy rode his bike quietly down the dark path. The boy rode his bike quietly down the dark path. Now, if you'll take a look at the handout, you'll notice 10 sentences. Let's focus right now on the content words. The content words, the nouns, the verbs, the adjectives, and the adverbs. And you'll take a look at these 10 sentences and go through and figure out what are the content words. When you see a content word, circle it or at least underline it. Let's see what they are. So if you'd like to take a couple of minutes, turn off the audio, get yourself a pen or a pencil, and circle the words that are going to be stressed. Circle the content words, and I'll be waiting for you. When we come back, we'll go over it together. Okay, have you got those content words circled? Let's take a look at them. Take a look at the sentence number one. A man sat on the chair. A man sat on the chair. Where are the content words? Man, sat, and chair. Try this out with me. A man sat on the chair. A man sat on the chair. All right, good. Number two. My friend came to my house. My friend came to my house. Where are the content words? Friend, came, and house. Try it with me. My friend came to my house. My friend came to my house. Number three. The people in the store bought bread. The people in the store bought bread. What are our content words? People, and in this word alone, P-E-O, that has the most stress. The people in the store, there's another one, store, bought bread. Bought is a verb. Bread is a noun. So, people, store, bought bread. Try it out. The people in the store bought bread. The people in the store bought bread. Number four. The keys are on the table in the kitchen. The keys are on the table in the kitchen. What are we stressing? We're stressing keys, table, and kitchen. In our two-syllable words, table, the TA gets more stress. The second syllable will be reduced. The table and then kitchen is the same thing. The first syllable is stressed and the second syllable is not. So we're hearing the mountains in the intonation pattern in keys and tay and kit. The keys are on the table in the kitchen. The keys are on the table in the kitchen. Number five. I think you should consider the problem. I think you should consider the problem. What are we stressing? Think, consider, and problem. Think is a verb, consider is another verb, and problem is a noun. Consider, we hear the primary stress in si, the si. Consider, that's the mountain there. And then in problem, the stress is on the first syllable. I think you should consider the problem. Number six. We ate hot soup from the new restaurant. We ate hot soup from the new restaurant. Our content words are hot, an adjective, soup, a noun, new, another adjective, and restaurant, the noun. We ate hot soup from the new restaurant. Of course, that restaurant looks like three syllables, but it's actually pronounced as two, and the stress is on the first syllable. We ate hot soup from the new restaurant. Number seven. Susan is going to Canada for her vacation in July. Susan is going to Canada for her vacation in July. Susan is a noun. We're stressing su. And going is a verb, stressing go. And Canada, another noun, stressing ca. And vacation, there's another noun, stressing k, vacation. By the way, that first syllable is a secondary stress. Vacation in July. July. July is a noun. Lie is the primary stress. You could say July. Most people would put a schwa in the first syllable. July. In July. Susan is going to Canada for her vacation in July. Notice how Canada has a little more stress than going. Susan has a little more stress than going, too. Susan is going to Canada for her vacation in July. Number 8. Use the internet to contact us with any questions you may have. Use the internet to contact us with any questions you may have. Okay, we're stressing use, that's a verb, internet. Internet is a noun. The I-N, the first syllable, is where you hear the most stress. Contact, there's another verb. Con, the C-O-N, is what we're stressing. Tact, by the way, is a secondary stress. Contact. To contact us with any questions. Questions is the next one. The stress is on quest. Questions you may have. Have here is a verb. It's got to have a little bit of stress. Have is an interesting word because sometimes we can put have before a verb or before a past participle and we make it into a modal. For example, where have you been? Where have you been? In this case, have is not the main verb. It's just a helping verb. It has a different meaning. So when you look at the word have, you'll need to think about that. Is have the main verb? Or is it a helping verb for another verb? In this case, it's the main verb. Let's try this together. Use the internet to contact us with any questions you may have. Use the internet to contact us with any questions you may have. Number 9. Some of the people in my office insist on asking for my advice. Some of the people in my office insist on asking for my advice. Some of the people is the noun. There's some stress there. Office is another noun. Insist. Sist is the primary stress in this word, but this is a verb. Insist. Now, take a look. Insist on. Is this a phrasal verb? Insist on. Where do you hear more stress? Insist or on? You should hear it on insist. On is just a preposition. It's not stress. This is not a phrasal verb. Insist on asking. There's another verb. Asking. Ask is where you hear the stress. For my advice. Advice. Advice is also a noun. Vice, the second syllable, is where you hear the stress. Advice. Some of the people in my office insist on asking for my advice. Some of the people in my office insist on asking for my advice. Okay, great. Let's look at the last sentence, number 10. I wondered why that instructor would proudly tell us about his personal life. I wondered why that instructor would proudly tell us about his personal life. What do we have? Our content words are wondered, instructor, proudly, this is an adverb, tell, and personal life. And by the way, personal life is a compound noun. So, I wondered why that instructor would proudly tell us about his personal life. And by the way, if you're wondering about WHY, the word why, WH questions are usually somewhere in the middle. Not too high, not too low, often right in the middle. So once again, I wondered why that instructor would proudly tell us about his personal life. Okay, great. Now go over these sentences as many times as necessary to feel comfortable. Practice them over and over, and then I highly encourage you to get a hold of a book. Children's books are great. Newspaper, magazine, anything where you can sit down, spend a little time, and see if you can figure out where you're going to have the stress. The stress is usually going to fall on the content words. There are some variations, but let's focus on getting the content words stressed. And of course, there will be the major stress in the primary stress of every content word. So get used to figuring this out and finding this. Eventually, you won't have to really think about it. It will be natural for you. But for right now, think about it a bit. And of course, as always, pay attention to people around you or pay attention to movies and DVDs. Start seeing where you hear the content words. Notice my content words. They really go up and then they go down. So I know you'll do a good job. This is a very exciting time. We're really starting to get into some things. So keep up the good work and we'll talk again soon. Thanks. Bye-bye.